Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation outside the 12th Hour of Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is June 9, 2016, or it is the 5th day of the 4th month, 2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, His Eye is on the Sparrow. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Yahshua is my portion, my constant and friend is He. His heart is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His heart is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His heart is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His heart is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His heart is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, and hope within me dies, I draw the closer to Him. From care He sets me free. His heart is on the sparrow, and I know He cares for me. His heart is on the sparrow, and I know He cares for me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me.
Judgment against Zion's foes. Isaiah chapter 34. Our memory verse is going to be taken from Isaiah 33:15. It says, He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despises the gain of oppression, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. Verse 16, He shall dwell on high, his place of defense shall be the munition of rocks, Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Now, okay, that's Isaiah chapter 33, verse 15, 16, and 17. Now, let us go right across the page to chapter 34. And our main topic is judgments against Zion's foes. Okay, now, let's hold that right there. It says in verse 1, come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people, let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Yahweh is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them unto the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood, and all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as a leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a fallen fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Yahweh is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Yahweh hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness, for it is in the day of the Yahshua's, or the Yahweh's, vengeance. Now I added the preposition there, for it is in the day. I added the preposition in. It actually reads, for it is the day of the Yahweh's vengeance. But when you put the preposition in there, it makes it more complete. For it is in the day of the Yahweh's vengeance. And the year of the recompenses for the controversy of Zion. See, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Now this is where we're at right now. We're in the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone. And the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. The owl also and the raven shall dwell in it. And he shall stretch out upon it the line of the confusion, and the stones of emptiness. They shall call the nobles thereof unto the kingdom, but none shall be there. And all her princes shall be nothing. And thorns shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles in the fortresses thereof, and it shall be an habitation of dragons and a court for owls. The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the island, and the satyr shall cry unto his fellow, the screech owl also shall rest there, and find for herself a place of rest. Here shall the great owl make her nest, and lay, and hatch, and gather under her shadow. Here shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. Seek ye out of the book of the Yahweh, and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate, for thy mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. And he hath cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by the line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein. Okay. Now, that is pretty much sums it all up about this end time. Now, let's go back and read the whole chapter now of Isaiah 33. Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. And when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. So you see what the tug of war is all about here? Yahweh raises up his people for a purpose. And he says that you have to deal treacherously with your enemy. Okay. Now I want to go to 2 Samuel chapter 21. And I want to read what the Heavenly Father had given to me last evening about David and the Gibeonites. It says, starting with verse 1, 2 Samuel chapter 21, then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Yahweh, and the Yahweh answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house. Okay, now, this is interesting, because he slew the Gibeonites. Now, antitypical King Saul has just passed off the scene again. Rose W. Johnson. He was playing the role of the antitypical period of King Saul's reign in the Antitype. Believe it or not, that's one of the many roles Rose Johnson played unknowingly unto him. From 1970 to 2000, and actually 10, is when Brother Johnson had his reign. Brother Johnson had a 40-year reign, but he was discharged from his duties of reigning over the house of Gilead in 2003 after a 33-year reign. But he continued on even though Yahweh had rejected him and changed the guard on him. Now, I want to show you something here. Because they said it was for Saul and for his bloody house because he slew the Gibeonites. So Gilead Center ended up, Brother Johnson presiding over the kingdom of Edom. And so it is, now you see this word bloody, the bloody house. Now you go to Amos chapter 9, and you read about the sinful kingdom, yeah. Amos chapter 9 talks about the sinful kingdom. So, the sinful kingdom in our day was the antitypical kingdom of King Saul. That was King Saul's kingdom. That wasn't the everlasting kingdom of heaven here on earth. King Saul's kingdom was King Saul's kingdom. And it wasn't the kingdom of heaven here on earth. David succeeded King Saul and established the kingdom of heaven here on earth with his reign. Okay, let's go ahead back to 2 Samuel 21, verse 2. Let's just read verse 1 again. And there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Yahweh, and the Yahweh answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And you know who the Amorites were? They were a heathen bunch that had been was in the land when Israel came into the land, and Joshua, I believe, had to destroy them. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal unto the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, What shall I do for you, and wherewith shall I make the atonement, that you may bless the inheritance of the Yahweh? And the Gibeonites said unto him, We will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house. Neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, Which ye shall say, that will I do for you. Now notice the key thing here. He's giving us, making a request that David says, and you don't have to kill any man in Israel. So, let's go ahead and read verse 5. And he answered the king, The man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coast of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Yahweh and Gibeah of Saul, whom the Yahweh did choose. And the king said, I will give them. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Yahweh's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, who she bare unto Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Meholathite. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Yahweh, and they fell all 7 together, and were put to death in the days of the harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of the barley harvest. Now the barley harvest represents the wave sheaf offering right before Passover. So, there wasn't anybody taken from the house of King Saul to be a wave sheaf offering for sure. Because they weren't even considered men in Israel. See, King Saul's offspring was not considered even Israelites. They said that the Gibeonites requested that not anybody of Israel be killed, but let us have 7 sons of King Saul, showing that they were not men of Israel. And King Saul was not considered a man of Israel. Alright? Now in verse 10, And Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. And he has told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, the concubine of Saul, had done. And David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son from the men of Jabesh Gilead, which had stolen them from the street of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hanged them when the Philistines had slain Saul and Gilboa. And he brought up from thence the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son, and they gathered the bones of them that were hanged down. And the bones of Saul and Jonathan his son buried they in the country of Benjamin in Zelah, and the sepulchre of Kish his father. And they performed all that the king commanded, and after that Yahweh was entreated for the land. Now we're going to go into verse 15, and it's going to start talking about the Philistine giants defeated. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down, and his servants with him, and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Isbi, Benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, secured him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. Now you see how they looked upon David. He was the light of Israel. And they knew that if he were to die, that the light in Israel would be quenched. Now King Saul was not a light in Israel. And that's one reason why Yahweh had to get rid of him. He was not a light in Israel. All right, verse 18. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibekiah, the Hushathite, slew Sop, S-A-P-H, which was of the sons of the giant. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jehoiakim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature, that had on every hand 6 fingers, and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number, and he also was born unto the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath, and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. What are we learning here? We're learning, number 1, in verse 17, that David was made a light in Israel. If that light goes out, then they're in darkness. Israel is left in darkness. So you see how Yahweh chooses one man. Gives him the office of inspiration. And as I was reading here from Isaiah, the gospel prophet, in my last study, M.L. Andreessen, the author of Seventh-day Adventist Minister back in the 20s and 30s, clear up until he died about 1962, M.L. Andreessen, is regarded as a top professor in the Adventist Church back then, and he wrote these 3 little booklets, Isaiah, the gospel prophet, and but he made the mistake of quoting from the ARV, the American Revised Version, that has a corrupt version of the Bible, of the King James, and he went to prophesying. M.L. Andreessen went to prophesying, and he made some false predictions, as I read in my last study. He made some false prophecy here, and so it kind of disenchanted me with M.L. Andreessen. I especially ordered this book over the internet to get it all in one book, these 3 little booklets, and Isaiah the Gospel Prophet by M.L. Andreessen. But nevertheless, I have it here, and there is a multitude of wonderful things, and I am going to do the book. I'm going to finish it. But I'm going to deal with these false prophecies that, and I said that M. Andreessen was a prophet. Well, you know, there's different degrees of prophets. There are servants, that are given a gift, like Brother Shantz was given the gift to bring forth the creation calendar and to restore all the feast days at the correct time and to put the sanctuary back into operation, the spiritual sanctuary today. Brother Shantz was given that gift and talent. That was his one talent that he had. That was the only talent that Rollis had. Only one gift, one talent. And I know there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14, he talks about gifts given several to even one person. But Brother Johnson only had the one. And yet, he didn't realize that he didn't have the office of a seer, a prophet that could foretell the future. Because every prophecy he ever made and every prediction he ever made, it never came out, never turned out. But he did have the gift for restoring the sanctuary. So that was, there's different degrees of inspiration. And I guess they can be called prophets. But M.L. Andreessen, I was impressed that he was a called man and that he had inspiration. No doubt he had to have inspiration to bring out and bring out Isaiah, the gospel prophet, printed from selecting the last 13 chapters of Isaiah and designated as a judgment for the living, for the Adventists. But nevertheless, inspiration has given me my subject for today, M.L. Andreessen and others, are called specially to do a work for the movement of Israel today. But they don't all have the same gifts, and that's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 and 14. They all have different gifts. And they should stay within the line of their gift and not get out of it. But apparently they do. Just like Florence Holliff, the wife of V.T. Holliff, after V.T. Holliff died. The flock was scattered. Florence Holliff tried to continue on the office of inspiration for the rod, and she failed miserably. Then Roden succeeded Florence Holliff in 1959-60. And he tried to fill the office of inspiration and failed miserably. And Brother Johnson succeeded Ben Roden. And he was successful in laying the foundation and restoring the kingdom of Yahweh with the creation calendar. But after that, that was all he was called to do. But he continued on trying to be a seer in the future and prophesying and predicting for the correct fulfillment of the different prophecies. And he miserably failed, because his main theme, Roland Johnson, was 144,000. And that was the main theme of V.T. Holliff. That was the main theme of Ben Roden. And they all miserably failed. Because that theme is reserved for the house of David here in the 12th hour, and that's the way it is now. So let's get back to our regular reading now. We're in 2 Samuel chapter 22. Now pay close attention. It says, David's Song of Thanksgiving. And David spake unto Yahweh the words of this song in a day that the... Now let's go and do it again. 2 Samuel 22, start with verse 1. And David spake unto the Yahweh the words of this song in the day that the Yahweh had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of King Saul. Now this is important, because I represent antitypical David. And when I read this last night, this is the first thing that Yahweh showed me when I asked him for a message from the Bible. He gave me 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. And I'm going to read that a third time now to you. And David spake unto the Yahweh the words of this song in the day that the Yahweh had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of King Saul. Well, in 2002, when I had July 27, 2002, when I had a showdown with Gilead Center, and that was the last time I ever walked through those doors at Gilead Center. It was on that day. And when I walked out, after I delivered about a two-hour sermon indirectly to them, I walked out in the middle of the street, and I turned around and looked at the church, and I said, I'll never go back through those doors again as long as I live. And I didn't. And Yahweh says, He had delivered me. He said, you have been delivered this day. You have been delivered from all your enemies and from Brother W. Johnson. You're no longer under his shadow or his influence anymore. Because you are totally, you know, I felt like a bird let out of a cage. All right, so this is what Yahweh told me. This is how David felt. And David had a new song. Okay. And in verse 2, 2 Samuel chapter 20. And he said, Yahweh is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Let's look at that again. And he said to Yeshua, is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The Elohim of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. This is the answer that, that Yahweh gave me last night to my question. If he, that he said he had a message for me. And this is what he gave me. Verse 4, 2 Samuel chapter 22. I will call on the Yahweh, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of the unrighteous men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Yahweh and cried unto my Elohim, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations of the heavens moved and shook, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. Okay, so he said he bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. What do you think this cherub is? It's a flying saucer. We see flying saucers today in the heavens, right down here. And he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Yahweh thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. Now, Yahweh, the Father, is the Most High. Yeshua, his Son, is not the Most High. He is next to the Most High. Verse 15, and he sent out arrows and scattered them lightning and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared, the foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Yahweh, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of the many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Yahweh was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Yahweh rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, hath he recompensed me. Now I like that what I just read. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me.
He brought me and my wife to this Liberty Hill, Texas area. And you know, this is a broad place. Right in virtually the center of, possibly in the dead center of Texas. And you can, Texas is a big country. It's a very big country. And this is what he's talking about. Yahweh rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Yahweh and have not wickedly departed from my Elohim. See? He said, I have not wickedly departed. Now, David departed from Yahweh at one time. Whenever he made that alliance with Bathsheba. Whenever he did that, he departed from Yahweh. But Yahweh quickly brought him back. And he sent a prophet to him, Nathan, and quickly brought him back, brought him to judgment. And David did the right thing. He repented, and Yahweh caused his iniquity to be passed from him. And in verse 23, 2 Samuel 22, for all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. So David didn't depart from his statutes, and he didn't depart from his judgment, but he departed from Yahweh for a little bit. But he kept his statutes and judgments, thinking that Yahweh approved of his conduct of committing adultery and murder. But Yahweh did not approve of that at all. But David did not depart from his judgments nor his statutes. But Yahweh quickly brought him back because David hadn't departed from those. He continued on believing in the sanctuary system and following it. I was also upright before him and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Now David has repented of his iniquity. It was passed from him. Now he's kept himself from his own iniquity. Therefore the Yahweh has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness in his eyes, and his eyesight. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the forward, thou wilt show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, O Yahweh, and the Yahweh will light my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, by my Elohim have I leaped over a wall. As for Yahweh, his way is perfect, the word of Yahweh is tried, he is a buffer unto all them that trust in him. For who is Elohim save the Yahweh, and who is a rock save our Elohim? Elohim is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teaches my hands the war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. And I have consumed them and wounded them, that they could not arise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle them that rose up against me, hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Yahweh, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. Thou also hast delivered me from the striving of my people. Thou hast kept me to be the head of the heathen. A people which I knew not shall serve me. strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their close places. For the Yahweh liveth, and blessed be my rock. Let's do that again. For the Yahshua liveth, blessed be my rock, and exalted be the Yahweh of the rock of my salvation. So Yahweh is the Father, the rock is Yahshua, and that is David's salvation, the rock of my salvation. It is Yahweh that avenges me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Yahweh, among the heathen. I will sing praises unto thy name. He is a tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy unto his anointed, unto David, and unto his seed forevermore. Okay, so what are we learning here? Well, we learn that David's been placed in charge of the bad people and of all of his enemies. And not only that, but he destroys all of them. So, what are we looking at now? Let's just go right on into 2 Samuel chapter 23 and read about the last words of David before he went to the grave. And he has passed his legacy on to his seed after him, Yahshua being the main one. Now Yahshua has come and raised up the throne of David and sitting upon it, and has chosen his successor once again to come into conformity and be conformed to the image of him, that we might do great exploits. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the Yahweh of the Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, for the Spirit of Yahweh spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. For the Elohim of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of the Yahweh. And he shall be as the light of the morning, when the sun riseth, even the morning without clouds, as the tender grass springeth out of the earth, by the clear shining after the rain. Although my house be not so with Elohim, yet he hath made me with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, for this is all my salvation, and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. But the sons of Belial, that's the sons of the devil, she shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hand. But the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. And these are the these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite, that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle. And the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Yahweh wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only the spoil.
And after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Harahite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistine. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistine, and the Yahweh wrought a great victory. And a tree of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time, until the cave of Adullam, unto the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephraim. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men broke through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it unto David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Yahweh. And he said, Be it far from me, O Yahweh, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. And Abishaiah, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three. And he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them, and he had the name among three. Was he not most honorable of three? Therefore he was their captain. Howbeit, he attained not unto the first three. But Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man, of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man. And the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down unto him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among three mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not unto the first three. And David set him over his guard. Asahel, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem. Shema, the Harodite. Elika, the Harodite. Helez, the Paltite. Ara, the son of Ichish, the Tekoite. Elbazar, the Antathothite. Mebuniah, the Hushathite. It goes on and names all these here mighty men of the 30. But let's go on now and let's go into 2 Samuel now 24. And again the anger of the Yahweh was kindled against David, and he moved David against them to say, Go number Israel and Judah. For the king said unto Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, Go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. And Joab said unto the king, Now the Yahweh the Elohim add unto the people as how many soever they be, an hundred fold, and that the eyes of my master the king may see it. But why doth my master the king delight in this thing? Notwithstanding the king's word prevailed against Joab, and against the captains of the host, and Joab and the captains of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. They passed over Jordan, pitched in Arior, on the right side of the city that lieth in the midst of the river of Gad, and toward Jazer. Then they came to Gilead, and to the land of Tatem Hodishi. And they came to Dan-Jaan and about to Zidon, and came to the stronghold of Tara, and to all the cities of the Hivites and of the Canaanites, and they went out to the south of Judah, even to Beersheba. So when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days.
And Joab gave up the sum of the number of the people unto the king, and there was in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto Yahweh, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And that now I beseech thee, O Yahweh, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of Yahweh came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and say unto David, Thus saith Yahweh, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him, and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land, or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies, while they pursue thee, or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return unto him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of Yahweh, for his mercies are great. And let me not fall into the hand of man. So Yahweh sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even unto Beersheba 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, Yahweh repented him of the evil and said unto the angel that destroyed the people, It is enough, stay now thine hand. And the angel of Yahweh was by the threshing place of Arunah the Jebusite. And David spake unto the Yahweh when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, Lo, I have sinned and I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. And Gad came that day unto David and said unto him, Go up, rear an altar unto the Yahweh in the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Yahweh commanded, and Arunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Arunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Arunah said, Wherefore is my master the king come unto his servant? And David said, To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto Yahweh, that the plague may be stayed from the people. Let's read that last verse again, verse 25, 2 Samuel chapter 24. It's also the last chapter there in 2 Samuel. It says, And David built there an altar unto the Yahweh, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Yahweh was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. Okay. That's very good. This brings us to this hour. Contact us at this brings us close to study at this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. I'm going to close this service now with a song that I've written entitled Let the Heavenly Light Shine Through You. Written and known the title of wonderful you are at the end of created you. And written and known the title of creation and all that he can do. So draw near unto Yah, remember to pray, let the heavenly light shine. And Yah is making many times to begin to have a heavenly home for you. Let the heavenly light shine through, let the heavenly light shine through. 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 you in the hell to heaven they hold for you. Way high for the mountain and the low for high, everything body below. Heaven up above, just shining with love, with a peace for a river that's low. There's a bridge and a bed and a fire and a trees and all the heaven comes down. And I think that this is just the rest of us are waiting over there. Let the heavenly light shine through. Let the heavenly light shine through. And all his mercy that he comes again will have a heavenly home for you.